And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is media. All of my guests are discussing the media in one form or another. My next guest is an expert on TV advertising and commercials. The demographic for watching media, particularly traditional media, is changing, but advertisers still seek the coveted 18 to 49-year-old demographic. We'll discuss whether advertisers are out of touch with today's media and today's audience. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Adam Armbruster consults thousands of regional and national clients about turning traditional media marketing and advertising into profits. His clients include QVC, Midas, R.C. Wiley, Berkshire Hathaway owned, McDonald's, Peapod, Online Grocery, Choice Brands Motels, Modell Sports, and many, many more. Adam's special focus is on how to create a winning message, an effective media plan, and overall umbrella theme to a client's advertising plans. Adam shifts business leaders out of the advertising world that they're used to and into the new media world as it exists today. Welcome, Adam. How are you today?
Fantastic. Thanks, Billy, for having me on.
Well, thank you for being my guest. I love having subject matters like yourself, but let's set the stage for my listeners about today's media, if we will. TV viewership is definitely fractured among a bunch of different networks. I found this interesting. The average age of viewers on the big three networks is an astounding number. NBC, the average age is 49 years old. ABC, the average age is 50 years old. And CBS, the average age is 54 years old. Radio, much of it is being syndicated and piped into radio stations across the United States. Talk definitely dominates in radio. Music is out there dying. Magazines and newspapers are also dying. The internet is still pretty much the wild, wild west. But what I find interesting is 70% of the wealth in America is in the hands of people that are over 50 years old, yet advertisers keep going after the 18 to 49-year-old demographic. So most of the listeners listening to the sound of our voice are dead to those advertisers. Talk to me. Are advertisers out of touch, Adam?
A resounding yes, and let's dial back to where this all started. It started actually in the 1920s, and if you see the show Ad Man from the 60s, for example, how they preach down to the public. And this is back in the days, if you remember, there might have been maybe a half dozen brands of toothpaste on the market. There were maybe three TV channels to watch, maybe one local newspaper, a strong big radio station. Well, now the average grocery store has 11,000 brands in it. The brands are coming out by the dozens. And back in the day, they thought, we'll teach them what brands to like, and as they grow through their life, they'll fall in love with our brand, and they won't buy anything else. Well, maybe in the 20s and 30s and the 40s that worked, but as the brand volume escalated and media, what Billy, you pointed out so well, has escalated at a turbo speed, the money has moved into the adults over 50, as the audience has, of course. Les Moonves from CBS has been preaching this for 10 years to the ad community, and they just choose not to listen because he's head of CBS saying, I've got the folks with the money. Why won't you advertise with me? This is interesting, too. Another study was done by MIT. When Seinfeld was at its peak, a professor from MIP, I think it was Sloan Management School,
yes,
pulled all of the brands off of Seinfeld and said, let's look at all the brands that advertise nationally in this show, and now let's look at the audience. Surprise, surprise, Billy, the audience couldn't afford the brands.
Interesting, interesting.
Yet, I'm sure on paper it looked beautiful. We're in the number one show on television. Isn't that great? It's too bad no one can afford it. We're advertising. You know, you get into the demographics of 18 to 49. I mean, I'm 49 years old. I am nothing like I was when I was 18. I don't think the same, look the same, act the same. I didn't have money back then. I look at car manufacturers come out. Remember the Honda Element when it hit the street? I call it the toaster car?
Right.
Okay. That car was supposed to be for kids. When you're at a stoplight today, if someone's driving right now, listening to your show, and you see a Honda Element, look who's in the driver's seat. It's going to be a senior. And the reason they like it is you can get in and out of it with your bad hips.
There you go.
So the market tells you what your car is worth. Your market tells you what your brand is worth. And that's the solution. It's not do focus groups. Focus groups resulted in a couple of major failures. Remember New Coke?
Sure, I do.
That was approved by the focus group. Remember the Yugo?
Yes.
That was approved. Remember the discount airline concept? TED, JetBlue was supposed to be a discount airline. Well, if you fly JetBlue now, you'll notice there's no big discounts.
Hmm.
It turned out Discount Airline was a failed concept.
Right.
Tropagana, did a focus group and changed the logo of their packaging from the classic orange with a straw stuck in the side. Now, I live in Florida, so we're all about orange juice down here, but nationally, the brand represents something. They did a focus group, said, you know what, it's outdated, we've got to change it. They changed it to a generic look. Their sales went down 20%. Here comes back the old logo, right back on the shelf. So the market tells you what they think. The days of you telling the market how to think, how to act, what to buy, are really behind us.
All right. We're talking to Adam Armbruster. We're talking about the changing demographics and the media. So it begs the bigger question, I guess, Adam. Why is it that network television doesn't act its age when it comes to the advertisers? I mean, you'd expect to see, with an average age of 54, 50, or 49 years old, you'd expect to see ads for Depends, Viagra, Geritol, motorized wheelchairs, restless leg syndrome, all of that kind of stuff. And yet you don't see any of that. Why not?
You won't see it in prime time, that's for sure. You'll see some of that on daytime television. But, you know, here's the thing. The baby boomers today, they'll never grow old. They will not be old. They refuse. That's why you're seeing facial procedures with men and women. Some of the hottest things in healthcare is hormone replacement. There's two national franchises just streaking into that category where people want to feel young again. They don't want to gain weight. They don't want to feel tired. And they're paying $15,000 on average for the privilege.
Wow.
And that's all out of their pocket. That's not insurance related, et cetera. So these folks are not going to age, and the networks know what they want. It's getting the advertising community to buy into that. Now, you got to remember, the ad dollar is held hostage in many cases by the advertising agency industry. They're deciding where the dollars go. The head of GE is not deciding how to make a media buy today. They're busy building rockets and engines.
Well, let me just stop you right there, because I do want to drill down on this particular point, Adam. Yes, it may be that the ad agency has some control over GE's or any advertiser's money, whether they're large or small. But at the end of the day, it's still GE's money, and GE has some say in how its money is going to be spent if they take the time to think about it. Yes, true or false?
True that they have a say, true it's their money. I will tell you from working with CEOs across this country for, frankly, 20 years, that most CEOs come up through finance and sales, not advertising. You'll notice if you look at the bios of CEOs and presidents of companies, very seldom does it say, oh, he was an ad guy or she was an ad salesperson. It says they were finance, it says they were marketing, which is really sales. And they're kind of their soft spot, so they rely on the professionals in the advertising industry to take them forward. And there are some very fine people in the advertising community that can do this, but there's also a lot of old biases.
Without a doubt. I mean, we're talking to Adam Armbruster. Adam, I don't want to let this one go for just one more minute, one more follow-on question if I can. This is the puzzler to me, because if you go to an ad agency and you're a big company, of course the ad agency courts you and you meet all of the senior executives, and they're all probably of comparable age and so forth. You strike a deal with the ad agency, and now the real work begins, the day-to-day account management stuff, and you get turned over to an account manager who's fresh out of college, probably 25 years old, and if you're selling a product that's aimed at an older demographic, this child has no idea of how to sell a product to an older demo. They only know what they know, which is hip, happening, lights flashing, videos, that kind of stuff. How in the world can advertisers expect that a 20-something's fresh out of college can sell any product, let alone a product aimed at an older person?
Truth is, they really can't. I don't think that's fair to expect out of that account executive from the advertising agency. I don't think it's fair to expect that they can bring it to the client. And also, you can't even go to the customer base and say, let's do a focus group. That's what started New Coke. So, you know, the client, it's interesting. A lot of times the representative doesn't have the answers, the client doesn't have the answers, and the customer doesn't have any answers. So, Billy, you're sitting there going, well, what do you do? Hmm. What you do is you take your product, you price it competitively, you promote its real attributes, and then you market it. And you let the market tell you what they're biting on, like the Honda Element being very popular with seniors, exactly the opposite of demographic was designed and marketed to. So you let the market tell you, and then you adjust in incremental pieces as you go forward. But you're right, a 23-year-old trying to sell a Cadillac, and the average age is almost 68 years old, is a disconnect, and that's a hamstring in the business. And when business owners and CEOs get their head around this and say, wait a minute, maybe Les Moonves over at CBS wasn't so crazy to sell us that we should be working with them and the older demographic, it makes sense. They've got the money, they've got the time, and they don't want to grow young. So if you think about it from a 100,000-foot level, you've got demographics of people that want to be younger and will spend their way there. Isn't that a sexy target for an advertiser?
It would seem to me that it is. We're talking to Adam Armbruster. Adam, we talk about this age divide between the ad agency representative and the client company, but I'm going to ask a bigger question, a more general question. Is there a digital divide when it comes to advertising to younger consumers? And, you know, for what products and for what demographics is the internet the best advertising vehicle available?
It's really, in many industries, the car industry, the furniture industry, your classic retail advertisers in a city by city, I'm sure in Ventura County, there's some big, automotive dealerships, big furniture stores, et cetera.
Sure.
What they tell us is it's not like the internet's created a customer. It's replaced something. And in many cases, what it's replaced is that phone call they used to get from a customer. Hey, I'm looking for a red Chevy. Do you have any in stock? Well, that customer doesn't phone anymore. Now it's a visit to the dealer's website saying, how many red Chevys do you have? Because I want to look at some. And only after they decide on a car do they actually contact the dealer. So what the internet's done is it's actually created a bit of a firewall between a business, a local business, say in your case, to the customer. So the customer doesn't come in physically anymore. It's all virtual shopping. It's chatting. It's website visits. It's emailing. And it scares the dickens out of business owners because the customer never shows up until they're ready to buy. Well, that's good, except that what if they never show up at all? So the internet's replacing the phone, and it's putting, as you heard 1,000 times, putting the customer again in that power seat saying, I don't need to call you. I can just look what you've got through your window here called the internet. And it's created marketing challenges, and it's up the game of marketing, Billy. It's made everybody saying, now you got to be a good marketer because you can't sit passively and wait anymore.
Well, talk to me, Adam, if you will, about successful ad campaigns on the internet. Have there been any successful ad campaigns that have really taken off, either on social media or web advertising, that really stand out as stellar examples in your mind?
One that comes to mind quickly, it was QVC did a wonderful campaign with a computer package, and we sat with them when I was working still with Disney, and we sat with them, and they said, we want to sell a lot of these computers. I mean, they put a great little bundle together of computer, printer, software, a wonderful deal. And they went on key cities. They went in 10 cities with television commercials, obviously on QVC.com, on the TV station websites, and I think maybe some radio sites as well. I forget the mix they did. So all of this is coordinated over a 24-hour period. So basically it was on air, it was online, it was on the QVC show, and it was on the QVC website. They sold 8,000 computers in 24 hours, which was a record breaker for QVC.
Wow.
So when you put all that together, it's kind of like stacking all your tools together. We call it advertising, Billy. You know, it used to be advertising where you throw ads out there and kind of wait passively. Now we call it advertising, meaning you've got to jump in front of that consumer, hit massive scale quickly, generate some business, and get off. More of a fire hose approach versus a garden hose.
Wow, I like that. Advertiming, it's just one of the key tips that we're getting from Adam Armbruster. We're talking about the changing demographics and the media. So, Adam, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to appoint you king for the day. Now, you've got to be a benevolent king, but how would you change media and the media landscape, the media advertising landscape?
I think what I'd start is pull all of those national advertisers together, put them in one room and say, at the end of the day, doesn't it really come down to how many people are you talking to right now? For example, I'll give you an analogy in the healthcare field. Most people research healthcare on a Sunday and then act on a Monday. WebMD knows this, large hospitals know this, that there's about a 48-hour window of time when people research and act. And it's getting shorter and shorter, Billy, because the information is available online. There's resources are plentiful. And I'd say to them, doesn't it really get down now to how many people you reach versus how many cool tweets you're sending out and how many friends you have on Facebook and all these fun things? But at the end of the day, it's scale. And if you talk to 1 million people in 24 hours, you're going to sell a lot of toothpaste. If you talk to 10,000, you're not. And what's happening is they get so caught up in the sexy digital tools, Billy, that they lose sense of power marketing, that advertising issue, dominating an area, generating fast leads, and getting off. And that's what I'd say to them. Because that's really where they're lost. They're so caught up in the sex appeal of some of the new technology that they forget that their job is to sell toothpaste.
All right, great advice. We're talking to Adam Armbruster. Adam, what advice would you give to a company who wants to appeal to the baby boom generation to help them better sell and better position their market?
Well, first, like you're in Ventura County. I call it an organic, natural market. I live in Sarasota, Florida. We're almost like sister cities. Same kind of lifestyle, et cetera. first, be real. Don't placate them. Don't tell them they're going to look 10, 20 years younger. It just sounds so. They want that, but they don't want you telling them that. This is very literal, very honest, and sell the value of the product, number one. Price it accordingly. They're not fixed income. Many of them still have high incomes. They're in their 50s. They're not retired.
Right.
High income. So price it as a subtle premium product because that denotes value. And then show them how it makes their life a little easier, obviously makes them feel great, but they'll sign their own value to it. And that's what's happened with companies that are successful with this. They've realized, you know what, if we just get out there and tell our story, the market will tell us what they think of us, and then we can take that feedback and adjust.
All right, that's good advice. That's good advice. We're talking to Adam Armbruster. We're talking about changing demographics and the media. And, Adam, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I did want to get in one more question. And that has more to do with the media side of things. And why is it that TV audiences watch a show like The Big Bang Theory on CBS, where the average age of the viewer is about 54 years old, instead of a show like Men of a Certain Age, which airs on USA Network?
So why do they choose a network show over a cable show?
No, why do they choose a show like Big Bang Theory, which happens to run on a network, versus Men of a Certain Age, which would be far more closely aligned with their age demographic on USA Network?
Really, this may surprise you, but the reasons the audiences are larger on broadcast is they're starting on a bigger pool, a promotional pool, meaning, okay, so let's say that show's on 8, 9 o'clock at night. Well, that show has just been promoted in the evening news, with five-second ads saying, don't forget Big Bang Theory, it's coming up soon, to hundreds of thousands of people just an hour prior. On cable, it's up there on a smaller base, and it doesn't have the promotional platform to talk about the show. So it's almost like the audience is a reflection of the promotion it gets. Oprah did a monster number on her finale because of the 30 days of nonstop promotion of the finale.
Right.
So it's kind of like, think about it as a springboard up. What are you springboarding off of? And the reason those shows do better on network than they do on cable is that reason. You ever notice that when a show goes from network to cable, the audience drops seismically?
Mm.
That's really why. And it's frankly, it's just being found. A lot of channels, a lot of choices. It gets lost in the shuffle.
It's like real estate, location, location, location. Adam, will general interest networks like ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, will they survive, or are they going to die out as their viewers age and die out?
They're very innovative people. I know right now they're developing incredible mobile platforms with mobile television, which frankly are going to blow your mind. There's going to be local channels live on your smartphone, your iPhone, your BlackBerry, etc. They're moving with the times, but they're not drastic in the movement. They are slow, but so is the demographic. So I don't think they'll go away. Just like newspapers aren't going to go away, but are they shrinking? Yeah, they are. But they stay with the times on the television side. That I'm seeing them do. So I think you'll see them surprise you very soon. You know, department stores were written off 50 years ago. Last time I looked, department stores are pretty healthy.
There you go. I think that's great advice. We've been talking to Adam Armbruster. We've been talking about the changing demographics and the media. Adam, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, I'd have them listen to your show, number one.
Thank you for that.
For good advice, because I really enjoy it. We have lots of free resources on our website, which is esacompany.com, like Elmer Sam Adam Company, spelled out, .com.
esacompany.com. Adam, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.